be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today I ask you to turn your eyes to your handout and read together with me the title of today's sermon. The title of today's sermon is, God is Serious About Sin. Let me read to you just a portion of this gospel reading, a very challenging gospel reading. And as we prepare and preach our sermon, please follow the sermon outline right in front of you. From Mark chapter 9, Jesus said, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble, it would be better for him if, with a heavy millstone tied around his neck, he had been cast into the sea. And if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life crippled than having two hands and go into hell. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better to enter life lame than having two feet to be cast into hell. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes and be cast into hell. For goodness sakes." What a challenge it is to read that portion of Scripture and end the reading and say, "This is the gospel of the Lord." That passage will make you sit up and pay attention. Why such shocking words from Jesus? Because we need to be shaken and awakened to see how serious and destructive sin really is. Because contrary to today's society and to so many people around us, God is serious about sin. Today, sin is so often just winked at. And even the word sin has almost vanished from our vocabulary. Instead, we hear things like lifestyle choices, personal freedoms. And if a person is caught in wrongdoing, it's often called just a lapse of judgment or a moment of weakness. But by all means, in polite society, and to be politically correct, the false god of our age, political correctness, we should never publicly speak of the word sin. Do you remember just a few years ago when a political official in Surrey, in a very respectful way, expressed his views about the excessive vulgarities and distasteful trappings of the yearly Vancouver Gay Pride Parade. If you saw any newspapers or websites, he was viciously attacked for even raising the question in public about such matters. But our gospel reading and sermon text for today speaks clearly with no punches held about sin in graphic, shocking, and poetic language. Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Jesus said, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now that is to say, don't actually cripple yourself, but take sin seriously and avoid it. And what is this millstone that the text says is to be tied around our neck? Verse 42 says, if we cause a new believer or a child or someone with childlike faith to sin and stray away from God, it would be better for us that a millstone be tied around our neck and we be cast into the sea. A millstone is a huge round stone driven by the power of a donkey walking in circle and circle and circle. This large stone is rolled around on a circle on top of a flat stone to crush wheat into flour. This millstone weighs hundreds of pounds, as much as your automobile. And Jesus here says, it would be better that whoever causes a child or someone with a childlike faith to sin and stray away from God, it'd be better for a millstone to be tied around their neck and for them to be cast into the sea than to let Almighty God get a hold of them. This poetic and graphic language declares this central truth. Sin is serious, and God is serious about sin. But here's a problem. One problem is this. We all so too easily notice others whose sins are serious and overlook our own. We shake our head at the news of monstrous dictators or evil political regimes or famous murderers. And perhaps we don't even have to look that far. We may dwell on the sins of neighbors, friends and family members, but we do not want to consider honestly the sins of that person whose face we see every morning in the bathroom mirror. If we consider the pages of Holy Scripture, we may be even thinking about someone like King David, who committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, had her husband Uriah put to death, and then kept on being the king of Israel as if nothing had happened. Perhaps later today, go home. It's noted on your sermon outline. Go home and read 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. There we find King David doing what we so easily do. He sees the sins of others, but will not notice his own. Finally, God has to bring to David a prophet named Nathan, who holds up to him the mirror of God's word. And Nathan says to David, "You are the man." Today, this gospel reading from Jesus compels us to look into the same mirror of God's word and clearly see our own lives and the sinful choices we've made. Romans 3:23 says, "There's no escape." It says, "For we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." When you and I look into the mirror of God's word, each of us must say, if we're honest with ourselves, we must say in the words of Mark 9, "I have sinned with my hand by what I have done. I have sinned with my feet by the paths I have walked. I have sinned with my eyes by what I have lusted over and coveted for my own." And if we look at our own lives and the choices we've made over the years, we must come to this following conclusion. Our own words and our own deeds have not always pointed people clearly to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At times, our own words and our own deeds have driven people from Him. Each of us must confess, not only have I sinned, I have also caused others to sin and stray away from God. My goodness. That heavy millstone should be tied around our necks. Today's text from Mark 9 says, "Beware of the millstone. Come face to face with your own sin and don't look in that mirror for the sins of anybody else but your own." Beware of your own millstone. Don't be overly concerned with the millstone of somebody else. Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death. And what are wages? Wages are what somebody gets paid for the work that they do. Wages are what we earn for what we do. And God's word tells us clearly, we sin. And the wages due us are the wages of death, God's wrath and eternal punishment. We are that man that Nathan said to David. We cannot just point out the sins of others. I am that man. You are that man. We all are sinners. Our neck bears that heavy millstone that Revelation 18 says one day will be thrown into the sea, never to be seen again. Now, my goodness sakes, if we stop the sermon right here today, you should give me my walking papers. If we stop the sermon today, you should run me out of town on a rail. If we stop the sermon here today, we would be without hope. If we stop the sermon here today, we would never be sure we could ever get right with God. If we stop the sermon here today, we would be in the same situation people found themselves in at the time of Martin Luther. In the 1500s. At that time, people knew they were sinners. The church of the day made sure they knew they were sinners. And the solution the church gave at that day, the solution to make God happy and to avert His wrath was this. Do more good deeds. Do countless religious activities. Make never-ending financial contributions. And this led people to only one conclusion. Fear and despair. How much would ever be enough? But then came God's servant, Pastor Martin Luther, who was moved by the Spirit of God to begin a new reformation in the church. This reformation led people powerfully away from dependence on their own good deeds. This reformation led people to the sweet, sweet gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ. The good news that we sinners have a Savior. And Jesus came to pay for our sins, to make us right with Almighty God, to stand between us and God's almighty wrath. And upon Calvary's cross, to give His life in payment for our sins, and to rise to give us forgiveness and the gift of heaven. This Reformation happened some 500 years ago. And on the last Sunday of October, the church of our day continues to celebrate the Reformation, as we will in 1 month from this Sunday. But such a Reformation is needed each and every day in each of our lives to drive us again back to the sweet gospel of our Lord Jesus. In the words and images of today's sermon text, here is the good news of the gospel. The millstone that we deserve has been tied around Jesus' neck. The Bible tells us that Jesus became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. God made Him, that is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. God, the Heavenly Father, tied the heavy millstone of your sin on Jesus' neck. Jesus bore that millstone of sin as He hung crucified on the cross. He took God's punishment in your place. He died for you, and He rose from death, and He burst forth from the grave. And He cast that heavy millstone aside. And because of Jesus, your millstone, my millstone, has not just been untied. It has been broken into pieces. Your sin is paid for. Your sin is forgiven. You have been made right with Almighty God. Please listen as I say this next sentence. You need not bear your sin and guilt any longer. See the millstone taken away at every baptism. See the millstone untied and broken into pieces, and be reminded at every baptism that your sin and burden has been taken away. You need not bear it any longer. See the millstone taken around every time we receive the body and blood of Christ and Holy Communion. As you receive the very body and blood of Jesus with the bread and wine, you receive God's sure promise given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Your millstone is untied and broken into pieces. In Alberta, where Beverly and I used to live, just about 15 minutes south of us, is a little town called Wetaskiwin. Wetaskiwin is a Cree Indian word for hills of peace. Hills of peace. This is how the town got its name. When the first Christian missionaries came to that area, they were opposed fiercely by the Cree chief, Maskeet Patoon. But through the loving and diligent work of his missionaries, Maskeet Patoon became a follower of Jesus. Shortly after, his father was killed by an enemy tribe, the Blackfeet. Maskeet Patoon rode his horse to the enemy camp and demanded the killer be brought to him. He had the right, by tribal law, to put this man to death. When he addressed the killer, here's what he said, and I quote, "You have killed my father. Now, from this day on, you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse. You shall wear my best clothes." Tribal war could have broken out in those hills. Instead, they became known as the Hills of Peace, Wetaskiwin. Maskeet Patoon could have condemned the killer. In the words of today's Bible text, he could have tied a millstone around his neck and thrown him into the sea. Instead, in the name of Christ, he removed the millstone. And he forgave him as he had been forgiven by Jesus. My friends, your sins have been forgiven by Jesus, your Savior. Check your neck. Your millstone has been removed. You can now live as God's child, forgiving and serving others. Back one last time to our sermon title. Is God serious about sin? You bet he is. But he is even more serious about forgiveness. Our God is in the forgiveness business. So, one more time I tell you this morning, check your neck. Check your neck. Your millstone has been removed. Give thanks to God in the name of Jesus. Amen.